Today is April 18th, 2013, and we are, for all intents and purposes, beginning the next mitzvah of eating matzah. We began slightly yesterday, but we just got our feet wet. So let's begin with the verse in the Torah. The verse in the Torah says, again, these handouts are not crucial. You could understand the shiur just by listening. If you feel more comfortable without the handouts, that's fine. They are in Hebrew, and if you want to follow along, that's fine, but not absolutely crucial. But the Torah does say that on the first day, which we know is equivalent to Erev Pesach, the day before Pesach, one should purge one's home from chametz. Actually, I mentioned that we're doing the mitzvah of eating matzah. That's the next mitzvah, sorry, that's number 10. We're doing the mitzvah of purging our home from chametz. Okay. And the great Sefer HaChinuch, the great commentator of the mitzvahs, he explains that this means to remove all our chametz from our property on the 14th day of Nisan, which we explained this day and age, practically speaking, it means you prepare weeks or months in advance to make sure that on the Erev Pesach you could be free of chametz on your property. And from the reasons behind this mitzvah is, he says, that we should remember the Nisim in Mitzrayim. We should remember the miracles that God performed for us leaving Mitzrayim, just like we said, by the ritual of the Korban Pesach, of the Pesach offering. Now, it's a nice idea that the matzah is supposed to remind us of the exodus from Mitzrayim, and why the exodus of Mitzrayim is so fundamental for us, we discussed at great length. But in what way, he doesn't explain to us, in what way does this cracker-like or flat bread remind us of leaving Mitzrayim, other than the fact that he doesn't explain it at all. Now, we know that the Mishnah teaches us, I keep on going back to matzah. Purging our residences, our property from chametz, from leavened products, from bread, etc., is to remind us of Mitzrayim. Now, in what way? So we know the loose connection is that in Mitzrayim we ate bread of affliction. Also, when we left, they didn't have time for the bread to rise, etc. But as we'll see, the connection between chametz, leavened, we'll call it chametz, but the leavened products, is much, much deeper and much more philosophical than simply the practical, that's the food we ate then. You know, in Judaism, there's a great emphasis in the culture of Jewish people. There's a great emphasis on different types of foods eaten on certain types of holidays. We associate cheesecake, obviously, with Shavuos. And we associate, what other foods there? Hamantashen, we know. Sufganiyot with Hanukkah. Each one has a reason and so on. What's that?
Ram's head.
A ram's head. Okay. Do you actually eat the ram's head, or you just... I have those deep, dark secrets there, Michal.
My wife loves it.
There was a very wise man, a very big Talmud Chacham, used to say that we should be careful, while all these items of culture have great significance and great meaning, and the reasons why this particular food over that particular food, but one should be careful not to make your entire Shavuos into cheesecake and your entire Purim into Hamantashen and your entire Hanukkah into donuts, right? There's a great wisdom to that. My favorite is kreplach. You're familiar with kreplach?
Right.
Little packets with meat inside, yes? Dough with meat inside? You eat that three times a year. So as a kid, you could eat it as many times as you want, but there's a minug, to eat it three times a year. And as a child, we used to say, you could say it as an adult too, that the three times a year when you klop, you know, klop means in Yiddish, when you bang, three times a year when you bang is a minug to eat the kreplach. How's that? What are the three times a year? Purim, you bang Haman, yeah? What's the other time? Two other times. Purim? No. You mean on you eat krempelach on Shavuos? You don't. Maybe it's a good idea. You put some cheesecake in there. The other time is Erev Yom Kippur. There's a minute to eat it. And that's when you klop. You bang al chet. And one other time is Hashana Rabbah. On Hashana Rabbah, you bang the Hashanas, the five myrtles, right? You bang on the floor. So that's a good mnemonic. It's also a cute way, you know. When you klop, that's when you eat krempelach. There's great significance, all the, especially the Chassidim are very busy with explanations as to why and so on. We're not going to get into that. But the idea is that that foods do commonly conjure up reminders of different situations, etc. So what are we talking about here, that we should refrain from eating chametz, we should purge our property, even to that extent? And the real irony is that it's not that chametz is forbidden an entire year round. You want to tell me, let's say, one shouldn't eat pork. You can give me a whole explanation as to why, as to what, a whole explanation as to what the significance of it is and so on. And that's because it's forbidden all year round. Although the little secret is that the rabbis teach us that when the end of days, you know, don't share this with anybody, but don't try it at home either, but that pork will be permitted in times of Mashiach. You've heard that, Chazal?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Don't mention that to anybody. But here we have this unusual and intriguing sort of halacha that for 7 days a year, or in these days practically in the diaspora, 8 days a year, don't eat chametz. But the rest of the year, it's totally fine. It's 100% kosher. 100% no problem at all. Well, it's kind of strange. Is it? If somehow it's symbolic of evil or whatever it might be, so then why the rest of the year? So we'll have to discuss this. But one of the things that we did mention is that the significance of the Ralbag, the first item that we said here, a second item rather, was that the purging of chametz and the eating of matzah really is a reminder of the absolute flip that took place at the time of leaving Mitzrayim. He was, Pare was the most powerful of men, his country was the most powerful of countries, and no one ever escaped, Chazal tell us, from Mitzrayim. And yet, within a matter of moments, in the blink of an eye, he was the one forcing us out. So on one hand, the matzah represents affliction. It's the bread eaten by poor people, bread eaten by slaves. They want it to remain in the digestive system for a long time. And on the other hand, it symbolizes the freedom. And that's because when we were forced out in such a way, in such a rush, that we didn't have time to allow the bread to rise, etc. So it represents both of those. Sintai. What we did mention yesterday, at the end of the shir, was the famous Gemara, Rabbi Alexandri, that's number three here. Rabbi Alexandri, by the way, you find many Jewish people till this very day named Alexander. Familiar with that?
Yeah.
Why? Who was Alexander? Was he a Jewish king, or? Famous story before Hanukkah, right? So led up to the Nes of Hanukkah, but it's interesting that till this very day we have people named Alexander, especially by the Hasidim. A lot of them, a lot of Hasidim. Okay, there's actually a Hasidic court named Alexander. Is that right?
Yeah, they were named for a town, I think.
What's that? There you go.
Yeah.
You have a Hasidus named St. Mary's. You know that?
We just talked about Satmar.
Yeah. Satmar, that's
right. Satmar.
Also known as Satmar, of all people, of all courts.
When there's a moral, like it's put in Josephus, that when Alexander met the high priest, who was usually known
Shimon
as the Masonic, that they, for a year, promised that he confirmed the Jews in their autonomy, he gave them all the privileges in adjoining to the Persian kings, and that they Cohen Gadol promised that all Jewish boys born that year.
Yes, yes, for a year's time, yes. Until his very day, it remains, it's just interesting.
Well,
interesting. It's like there's some names that are very intriguing, like Yishmael, you know. You know, it's Yishmael. I mean, it's interesting. Okay, at the end of his days, he did tshuva, but look at his descendants. You know, there's a new yogurt place opening up down the road.
Really?
Yeah. It looks like Yossel. I don't know if it is or it isn't. But previously, there was a Verizon boutique there. Yeah, so there was a fellow there. My son said to me, it's not Yossel's, it's actually Yusuf's. Because the guy who was running the boutique was a Muslim. So maybe he's just still there, just running a different business, and his name is really Yusuf. So I said, well, you know, people were hopeful that it would be Chal of Yisrael. I said, well, actually, it's going to be Chal of Yishmael. Okay. I'm sorry about that. Okay. In any case, so interesting, those names. But anyway, Rabbi Alexandri used to say the following. He used to say to Hashem, you know, really, we really want to do, our essence is that we really want to do the right thing. That's what a Jewish person's essence is. We're not there's a bumper sticker I saw once. We're not a physical being going through a spiritual experience. We're a spiritual being going through a physical experience. Right? And that's very true. So really, what is our essence? Our essence is that we really want to do the right thing. Elamima Akev, who's preventing us? So I would have said, if I was making such a statement to God, what I would have said? The evil inclination is preventing us. No, he said, you know who's preventing us? Se'or Shebe'isa, the leavening agent in the bread, in the dough, v'shibud malchus, and the subservience to the authorities. Meaning, very often we find that the environment around us is not conducive for performing, for practicing the Torah. Certainly it was that way for many, many generations in the Jewish people. So these two things are preventing us from really doing your will. So Rashi explains, what does it mean, the leavening agent, the se'er, the leavening agent in the dough? Does that really prevent us? Says Rashi, se'er hu hayetzer shemachmitzenu. The se'er is the leavening agent that makes us... Now, what is machmitzenu? Neil, can you give us a good English word? It leavens the... What would machmitz...
It makes us delay.
You know, but I mean as far as vis-a-vis the bread. The leavening agent causes the bread to rise, to ferment. There we go. Okay. What's that? Ferment is a good word, yeah? Okay. So he's associating... Rashi is telling us that the Yetzer Hara, and this is found throughout Chazal, that mitzvah habol yodcha al tachmitzena, don't delay, don't linger, don't let it spoil. Yes, allowing ourselves to veer off the path or not to do the proper thing is like chimutz, is like the process of fermentation in the bread. And we pointed out that the slichas in Erev Yom Kippur, the special prayers that we offer before Yom Kippur, we say that hishlachnu raya se'er, that we throw out the spoiled leavening agent. In fact, it's interesting. Yeast actually does smell terrible. Well, it's spoiled. Well, essentially, that's what it is. It's spoiled bread. Is that right? Am I right? Yeast is spoiled bread? It's bacteria, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's microorganism.
Yeah, but how do they make yeast? Don't they just allow dough to spoil? Isn't that sourdough? Isn't that what they do? I believe that's what they do. You could buy... fresh yeast in bakeries, right? They produce it. I think they just leave the dough. Am I wrong? Is it my information is incorrect? Certainly when you open the package, it smells that way. Okay.
So yes? We say that the rest of the year, the fact that there's a reshus, permission to eat chametz, is it because we need the Yetzer Hara, you know, I mean, this time of year is like a
man's mess. Okay. We'll certainly get to that. That's, you're right up the right path. You got it right. Okay. So the next item, number four sort of on this paper, in the fourth paragraph here, fourth section, we have here on page 20, we have a medrash. The medrash says, in Medrash Rabbah, Rabbi Rachi B'Shem Rabbi Shimon Barami, he says, from the Pasuk in Tehillim. Do we have a Tehillim here? Does this have Tehillim? It might, yeah. Yeah, there we go. So in Tehillim, what did we say? Tehillim Lamed Beis, 32, Psalms Lamed 32. We have, the beginning says like this, L'David Maskil, Ashrei Nisui Pesha, Kisui Chata. Kisui chato. What does that mean? Noisei avain. What does noisei avain mean? Forgiven of sin. Hashem is Naisi Avin. It's one of the midas, one of the attributes of Hashem is that he forgives sin. And he covers over sin. In other words, Ashrei Adam Lo Yachshev Hashem Lo Avin, that Hashem does not consider a sin by him. We say, Bilam said, right? What did he say? Bilam said a pasuk very similar. Lo Hibit Avin B'Yakov. Hashem does not see iniquity amongst the Jewish people. And the Gemara actually talks about that. The Gemara in Kesed Mevarach, the Gemara asks, does Hashem actually show favoritism? We know that a person, Chazal tells, a person says, I'll do an Avera, I'll do a sin, and Hashem will forgive me, don't worry about it. Gemara says terrible things about a person like that. So what does it mean that Hashem shows favoritism? Yiso Hashem panav eilecho, the Gemara asks, Hashem should be noisei panim, he should show favoritism, and the Gemara answers yes. Because when we, Hashem always deals with a person measure for measure, right? A person who tries to fulfill the will of Hashem, when his head is screwed on tight, he tries to fulfill the word of Hashem, but he goes beyond the bare minimum, the bare necessity. He tries to do the full will of Hashem. A person does that, he goes to a great extent to go out of his way, perform it in the best possible way, so Hashem goes out of his way as well for him, that at times when he succumbs to the Yetzer Hara, to the evil inclination, Hashem does that for him as well. But here, the Medrash says an interesting thing. It says, Ashrei la'adam shehu gavaya mipishay, v'loi pishay gavaya mimenu. Fortunate is the man who is above his sins, and his sins are not above him. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk in Bereishis, La Pesach Chatas Reivetz, that to the door, literally, Chatas is Reivetz, the sin is crouching. There's many different explanations to that, but one of the explanations is like a salesman, very simply, like a salesman. The Yetzer Hara is there when you open the door. When you show a moment of weakness, you open the door to the Yetzer Hara, that's when he jumps in. But if you keep your door shut tight with all the protection, you're not going to let him in at all. He's only able to get in. You know, there's I think we mentioned this at one time a few months back, that the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, in the words of the rabbis, is compared to a fly, to a zvuv. Remember we said that? Vavram zakein ba bayamim. Remember that? Yeah. It's compared to a fly. So the Kli Yakar says a beautiful thing. He says, you know why he's compared to a fly? And we're going to explain this better in a few moments, but a fly is a creature that doesn't have the capability of cutting into a piece of meat or a piece of, until there's an existing hole. If there's an existing cut, then the fly can actually enter and begin to eat. So the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, is compared to a fly because this profound lesson that the rabbis are teaching us, the Yetzer Hara is not strong enough to penetrate a door that's securely locked. You open it up, you show some weakness, he's ravates, he's crouching, ready to jump in. And that's the salesman's sticking his foot in the door. The proverbial foot in the door, right? You open the door, his foot is in, and then he talks his way through, and you end up buying a vacuum cleaner from him or whatever else it is, right? Well, that's a very important perspective of the Yetzer Hara. It's a very important perspective that a person has the ability to overpower his Yetzer Hara as long as he is above his sins. But if he allows the Yetzer Hara to be above him, then he's in trouble. So the Medrash says, Chatos Reivetz es ein ksiv kan. It doesn't say Chatos is crouching in the feminine. Ela Chatos Reivetz. Chatos is crouching in the male form, which is symbolic of strength, of betrila. It's not always the case. I know some women who are much stronger than men, but generally, men are physically stronger. So betchila hu tashkenech keva. Initially, he is weak, like the symbol of a woman's strength. And afterwards, if you allow him to, only if you allow him to enter, then whom is gaber kezachar, he will then overcome you. He will overpower you like a zachar. Now the truth is that this is really the key to overcoming the Yetzer Hara. Because if I were to ask you, when a person succumbs to sin, what really happens? What really happens? Does the Yetzer Hara come to him with all sorts of claims that are rational? People sin when they're confronted with rational claims and they just, what could they do? Or do they sin because they're in a weakened state? The Rabbeinu Rabbi Yerucham, the great Mashgiach of Mir, Rabbi Yerucham, has a sefer, Das Chochma Musar, and he says an unbelievable thing. Chazal tell us, and that's the next half of this paragraph, Chazal tell us, La'ilam yargiz adam yetzer tov al yetzer hara. A person should, what's yargiz? Reiges? Reiges is anger. He should anger the Yetzer Tov on the Yetzer Hara, which means allow the Yetzer Tov to overpower the Yetzer Hara. And this he says like this. He says, this is the secret to the service of Hashem. Ready for this? Yeah? It's not necessarily just boosting your... it's like a debate. You know, you have a debate. You have two sides. Side A has very powerful arguments, and side B counters with their powerful arguments of their own. Right? You would think, yes? It says, there's no rationale to the Yetzer Hara. You think about any Yetzer Hara that exists out there, there's no rationale to the Yetzer Hara. The Gemara tells us that when does a person do a sin?
It's in the point of stupidity.
Where does it say that? Where does it say that? By a Saita, right? Person is only, right, Elam kein nichnes bem ruach shtus. An air of folly, of silliness enters him. You know what that means? Think about it. When a person sins, any sin that you know of, basically what happens is the Yetzer Hara doesn't convince him with rational arguments that it's right and just and proper to do this action. Think about it. Yeah? Let's say a person murders. Chas v'shalom. Yeah. He's so angry at a person that he murders him. What's going through the person's mind at that time? Does the Yetzer Hara tell him it's right, it's just to take a person's life because he's more powerful than you, because he's more popular than you, because he took your money? Let's say, so he took $100,000 from you. Does that justify taking a life? Is a life worth $100,000? He's wrong and he deserves prison and... There's a right to take his life? Is there any rationale in the world to say that he deserves death for such a thing? I don't think so. So what happens? Let's analyze what happens when a person does something like murder. What happens?
He's like righteous in his own eyes. He actually feels that he's doing the right thing.
Is that right? That he thinks he's doing the right thing? Chazal tell us no. Chazal tell us, well, he may push off some of those... guilty feelings by thinking some thoughts like that. But generally, what's really happening is he's dismissing the consequences. The consequences are that more than likely you're going to be found, you're going to be caught, you're going to be put in prison, you're going to cry, you're going to... Look at every murderer is caught, and I don't know what the percentage is, but I guess in different places. Imagine you're living in a place where 95% of murderers are caught. Is that anywhere near the numbers here in the United States? We had a DA here at one point. What happened to him? John Spitzer. What happened to him? Didn't he work for the DA?
Yeah.
Okay, what percentage? Let's say, for argument's sake, it's 90% of murders. Just watch a video of all these people sitting in court. They're crying and their lives are destroyed and this. And no matter what it was that was at stake, it's not worth it. So what is the man thinking? I'm going to be different. Does that make sense? When 95% of criminals are I'm going to be different. Why are you going to be different? Your plan is so much better.
They all think that the criminal genius is nothing but the perfect crime.
So some of them are, you know, premeditated in such a way where they devise a plan, but that's very, very seldom. Really what happens is, Yezahara simply says, dismiss those thoughts of, you're going to be different. Why? What? When? How? You'll work it out. You got to get this guy. Look what he did to you. Kill him. Right? So the truth is with any Yezahara, you have something that's forbidden to eat. You have something that's even permitted halachically to eat, but you're on a diet. You know you're going to feel guilty right afterwards. You know, I go through this 24 times a day, right? You know you're not going to appreciate it. It's going to make you feel sick. You're getting pleasure for what? For 30 seconds? And you do it over and over and over. How does that happen? What's going on? The Yetzer Hara dismisses. He allows you to dismiss. Allows you. You allow the Yetzer Hara to dismiss all rational thoughts of the consequences. And you go through it 100 times, sometimes 100 times a day, and you'll do it again. Because at that moment, it's a moment of weakness, so to speak. But it's the weakness, that's what Rabbi Yerucham is going to teach us. It's not a weakness based on the Yetzer Hara being so rational and so persuasive, etc. You allow the Yetzer Hara in. You open the door, you allow him in, and he goes to work by dismissing all those thoughts that are the rational thoughts. So he says like this, unbelievable thing. He says, here's the secret to the service of Hashem. You have to weaken the Yetzer Hara. How? So he says like this, I underline those words. Ratza Leimar. This means to say, Ki kol avera, every sin, eina ela mitagberes ha-Yetzer Hara. It comes from, not from wisdom. It doesn't come from the rationale of the Yetzer Hara. It comes from brute force. V'chalishus ha-Yetzer Tev. And the weakening of the Yetzer Tov. V'loy kasher anu midamin shegavru tainas haYetzer Hara al tainas Yetzer Tov. It's not like we understand. Well, today he had a better plan. Today he was wiser. Today he had a no. Loy ki im measher or is kasher maybe nizgaber haYetzer kasher it should be when the Yetzer Hara is stronger in the sense that you allow him to be stronger. Memela bazen nechlasha tev. Through that, the tev weakens. V'avdu tainoisev, and all the rational ideas, all the rational claims, fall to the wayside. And that's what Chazal teach us. That is our job. This is what Chazal is teaching us in that medrash above. That initially it's in a keva, but it's because we allow the Yetzer Hara to be strong by allowing him in, he overpowers us. And then he says the words, the da bei kula bei, the words of Chazal, and in this is everything. In this is everything. Kishi is gaber ha-toiv, when a person allows the side of good to be strong, yikpoi tzara es piv, you will have the forces of evil muzzled, v'yoivdu kol tanoisev, and all his claims and all his ridiculousness is lost. And that's what he says. Ki kol ikr koyach ha-yetzer ha-lay mechachmasei ki emigvurasei. And that's what Chazal say in Tanit Ve'eliyo. It says like this. Adji is bal adam di'ichnesu divrei terah b'seichai. Prior even to a person davening to Hashem. And it is important that the divrei terah that he learns should be allowed to enter inside of him. Deep inside of him. Prior to that, he should be mispalal. He should daven lebal yikonzu achila v'shtia b'seich me'av. That the food shouldn't enter his intestines, his innards. What does that mean? No food should enter his innards. It means it shouldn't allow the physicality to overpower his. So if you allow the Yetzer Hara in and you allow him to be strong, then all the wonderful ideas and all the wonderful claims in the world will not be strong enough to negate the Yetzer Hara. And that's because here's the secret. The secret is he doesn't have any rationale. He doesn't have any powerful claims. He has no wisdom. There's nothing in the world that makes it worthwhile to take the life of another human being. And there's nothing in the world, unless obviously the few situations where, right, he's killing somebody else or whatever. There are a few exceptions. But for the most part, there's almost no sin that has a rationale. And therefore, if we recognize this, the Yetzer Hara, the symbol of Yetzer Hara is paper tiger. That's what he is. He's a paper tiger. he's really he's an illusion of power, of strength, of and that's all it is. It's all an illusion. It's all us allowing him to overpower us. If we just keep him at bay when he is in his initial stages, we don't allow him to grow. It's a whole different world. That's the secret.
Like what you're saying, the point of this Tanakh ben Eliyahu is it saying that is the Ichilishtiyah referring to the lure of the physical or the material world?
Not just the lure, but it's referring to the indulgence in right. In other words, you have to have a certain minimal amount of food to sustain you, but it means the overindulgence and the right. Yes.